Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, bless the reading, the hearing, and the interpretation of your holy word this morning, so that we may be a people who live in hope to the glory of your name. Amen. I invite you to be seated. And if you're joining us digitally, you're probably seated already. I understand this. For which you are blessed. Festivals. Most of us love a good fair. In autumn, I love attending the Woodstock Fair, the Durham Fair, and the Hebron Harvest Fair. I live in Connecticut. But I also enjoy, in Massachusetts, going to the Brimfield Fair, the Three County Fair up in Northampton, and the Blandford Fair. Now, I also, and this goes without saying, enjoy the Big E. Because when it comes to the Big E, I'm there for one reason. Okay, maybe two reasons. One, the Ferris wheel. Two, the potato. I don't care what you put in your potato, but like I'm there for the potato, and I usually go to the Connecticut one because I just think the lines are much shorter. Fairs, they're wonderful. We look forward to going to them. But now imagine a fair, a festival if you would, that was celebrated exactly 50 days after the second night of the Passover. It was called the Festival of Weeks, or Shavuot, from the Greek word for 50. The festival eventually acquired the name Pentecoste Hermera, which is a tongueful, so it simply became Pentecost in the Greek-speaking world. Pentecost grew out of the festival of Shavuot and likely holds the dubious title of being the most significant church holiday that people know absolutely nothing about. But people came from all over, the young, the old, rich and poor, men and women. The scriptures tell us how the festival of Shavuot was to be celebrated. So imagine having a fair, imagine having that fair outlined in the Bible. Just saying. Leviticus 23 and Deuteronomy 16 tell us that this was the day each person was to bring to God a special gift in proportion to the blessing the Lord had given them during the year. So can you see someone bringing a ton of wheat or another 5 or 6 or even 7 pieces of hand-woven linen? Imagine another bringing $5 and another $5,000. All daily work was to be set aside. The people were to gather and worship and rejoice before the Lord. Here's the deal. Each and everyone was invited. No one was to be excluded. The guest list was God's guest list, and it was clearly stipulated in the book of Leviticus for all to read. So listen, the following are invited: you, your sons and daughters, your men servants and your maid servants, your Levites in your town, those from far away places, the single, the widows living among you. Did you hear that you were invited? And everyone in your household too, your relatives and those that work with you and for you. And did you hear that those having a differing theological position than you are also invited? And the immigrants and non-citizens, those who are orphaned and widowed, those who live on the margins. And you just can't think about this stuff without thinking about the conflict in the Middle East between the Palestinians and the Israelis. But nonetheless, the homeless, gay and straight. If invitations were sent out, it was not for the purpose of excluding, but simply to inform folks. No one was to be excluded to God's party. Each one was invited regardless of religion, race, gender, or age. all the barriers that divide us throughout the year were to come down on that day of Shavuot. And what a celebration it was going to be. The day was in commemoration of the day that the law was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. Oh, you can remember how it was back in the day when a raggedy band of escaped slaves had been called to the incredible relationship of being in a covenant relationship with God, a holy nation, a people with an identity that began and ended with Yahweh, with God. The law was just not rules and regulations, do's and don'ts, but the law was the code of how to treat one another, how to do relationships. The law was a gift of love for God's people. And despite what we see today, that was written in law. What we do is quite different. But what a time to be in Jerusalem. Like, there was everybody. The city was buzzing with all kinds of culture and languages and excitement. What a great time to celebrate being marked as God's holy nation. On such a day, on such an occasion, the streets were filled with people from all over the world. And where do we find the disciples today? Give a guess. The disciples are holed up in their room indoors. Outside was all the excitement, and these 120 or so people were behind locked doors. Those who were there tell us in our lesson that they suddenly heard a sound like blowing, wind blowing and gathering momentum until it became a mighty wind, a storm. And that stormy wind sound filled the very place where they were gathered. Then fire. Fire, they tell us. Tongues of fire as a symbol of God's presence fell and reached and touched each and every person in the room. And everyone became filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they began to speak. They found the words to say. They found courage to speak words. They no longer whispered only among themselves, held up in that apartment. They opened the doors. They walked outside of their safe space and took the risk of going into the streets. And they began to speak to those who had not seen the fire or heard the wind. Speaking to strangers the good news of Jesus. And as those passed by, stopped to listen, they were amazed and said, "Hey, we can understand what these people are saying. We do not know who they are, but they are speaking our language. They are speaking our mother tongue, the vernacular." And the disciples then go on. They're trying to describe what had happened to them in physical terms as a sound from heaven, as a rushing of a mighty wind or tongues of flames. It is though that heaven had burst open and streams of heavenly influences were flooding down into their lives. What happened at Pentecost was that their hearts and lives were opened wide for the Spirit of God in all its fullness to ascend upon them and take them captive for the purposes of God. Through the gospel writer Luke, the writer also of the book of Acts, which we read this morning, the disciples tell us it was a matter of language. You see, language in our world has often been a matter of power. Who speaks what language and where and when is often an indication of who is allowed to be seen and who is allowed to remain invisible. Colonialism has always worked to silence languages and force natives to speak the language of those who just invaded them. It forced them to speak the languages of power. For many of us who come from post-colonial backgrounds, our native languages have often been ridiculed, and we have struggled to learn the languages of power. Often, nation states have often imagined that the way to unite people into one nation is to have one language, and in the process to silence other languages. This event of Pentecost proved that each language has a place in God's world. The doubtful realization that each one could be allowed to hear and speak the gospel of Jesus Christ in their own language is amazing. This is amazing news. So the good news is that you don't have to change cultures. You don't have to change who you are to be a member of this church. You and I don't have to pretend to be someone we're not in order to be in community here. Pentecost is all about breaking down our personal walls and puncturing the cocoon of despair and fear that hold us captive. Pentecost is the powerful entry of the Holy Spirit into our lives to rearrange our world in surprisingly new ways. Languages and cultures are not erased. Language that may seem foreign to us no longer intimidate us into xenophobia and prejudices of people who love differently and do not suspend us into even homophobia or even transphobia. Suddenly, the differences between peoples of this community, of this world, be they accent, language, belief, race, gender, sexual orientation, or ethnicity, are not something to fear, but something to appreciate about God's creation. We are a diverse bunch this morning. We are able to celebrate today. We are formally welcoming into our community Maya. And with Maya join Jim and June, Maples, Matt, Sherry, David, Jen, Jeff, Sebastian, Preston, Mark, Alex, Emily, Lindsay, and Aria. There's a whole bunch of folks here. And for some, even the words that we speak in liturgy may have some folks scratching their heads. Perhaps it's the first time hearing this stuff. But we welcome you, because we recognize that Pentecost is the invasion of God's time, God's kairos, God's point of view into our lives. Pentecost is like wearing new glasses, and suddenly our sight is restored to see, hey, we are more connected than we ever imagined. And for us who wear glasses, when you get that new pair of glasses, you realize this. When you put them on for the first time, you see things you haven't seen before. We recognize that we share the same planet and are connected in more powerful ways, and we sometimes take those ways that we are connected for granted. I once took a guided retreat where we were invited to consider how small the world was and how we were interrelated. Now, if you know anything about me, when I go on retreat, I like to hear crickets. Like, I like to be alone by myself. Not holed up in a room, but like walking around and talking with folks when I can. But I played along. And the retreat leader told us to imagine our clothes. The cotton your clothes are made of may have come from Nicaragua or India. Your watch may be metals that perhaps came from Chile or Congo. The coffee, cocoa, sugar that are part of your breakfast may have come from El Salvador, Colombia, or even Kenya. And no doubt, many of our devices come from China. The medicines that some of us take may have ingredients that were taken out of the Amazon. Look that one up. So each time we eat a hamburger, drink some coffee, look at our watch, observe our children at play, answer our phones, start our cars, we are challenged to think of the living things, human and non-human, that are part of our daily lives. When each one of us hears the good news in our own language, something powerful happens. We are healed. We are empowered. When we hear and speak our native language, we are able to live free from the oppression of all sorts of stuff. And we can be authentic in our relationship with God. And when we're authentic with our relationship with God, then we can be authentic with each other. No longer imitating, no longer hiding in the shadows behind what the status norms of society would demand. No longer trying to be what we are not. Be not afraid. Live and speak into the way in which God has formed you. Be strong and go forth from the room that holds you captive. Amen.